All right, we're going to be in a couple of places here tonight as we try to relay the message to you here. We're not really going to be focusing on any one scripture. This morning we spoke about the end of all things. We talked about the coming of Christ. I ask you an important question this morning. Are you ready? If Christ were to come back today, are you ready? That was the question this morning. And I think that was fitting concerning the fact that we're coming to the end of a year. The end of this year is coming. But tonight I want to encourage you, I want to get you to look on the joy of a coming year, the promise that that coming year brings. I want you to take a look at the new year in a new light. Every night eventually gives way to a new dawn. Every end gives way to a new beginning. Our focus tonight is going to be on that beautiful, that bright, everlasting life of promise, the new beginning that we find when we come to the end of ourselves and the beginning of Christ. We come to the place where Christ makes us new creatures. Join me as we pray. Father God, Lord, we come before you tonight, Father, thankful for the day. Lord, thankful for your many blessings. Father, we thank you for the year that we've had. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us tonight in the message and the word, Lord, that the Spirit would be powerfully ministering here. Father, we pray that you'd be with us in the coming year. Lord, that you'd be guiding and directing our steps, our words, our actions. Father, help us to be wise, Lord, to be the men and the women that you've called us to be used by you mightily for your glory, Lord. Father, we ask tonight that you'd open ears, Lord, and soften hearts, Father, that we'd be able to receive the Word of God as it is. Father, help us to have a heart that's able to receive that Word and to take that oh-so-difficult final step of applying your Word, Father. That's the thing that we struggle with so often. It isn't knowing the Word, Lord, it's applying it. Father, we pray that you'd be here among us tonight. Father, please be with me as I come to speak the message that you've placed upon my heart. Father, help me to speak it clearly, accurately, Lord, as you would have it to be given. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in just a few short days, I think two, maybe three, I'm not really sure, we'll be coming into 2020. I remember as a kid watching movies about the future, and they'd have, you know, all this robotic and sci-fi stuff on the television shows, and they'd say, the year 2020. And I think, you know, we're not too far from that. Seems like everything's gone digital. Everything's gone electronic. I mean, the rate at which the world is changing, it boggles the mind. People the world over, they celebrate New Year's for a number of reasons. Unfortunately, for the majority of the world, it seems to be a day which is marked by drinking and partying and really just carrying on and having a good time. But I think for everyone, including those who do celebrate it in that way, I think for everyone, it represents a new beginning. A fresh start is what it represents. Anyone here ever felt like you just needed a fresh start? You ever felt like you just need a new beginning? Like you just need a mulligan, as they say in golf? You just need a do-over? I've felt that way before. I've often been glad when New Year's comes around sometimes to say, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna do things differently in the coming year. That's, I think, is why we all look forward to it. Well, one of the things that I think is wonderful about God and about His Word is that we find that throughout the Bible, throughout all of the biblical narrative, we see a constant theme, and that is that God is a God of new beginnings. He is a God of fresh starts. He is a God of second chances. He is a God of new hope, new dawns, new mercies, renewed daily. One of the wonderful things about God. To begin tonight, I want to take you back, and we're going to have a little bit of a shortened service, I think, to prepare for the business meeting tonight. But we're going to begin there in Genesis chapter 8. I want to show you something here. Back in Genesis, when the thoughts of men were only evil continuously, we talked about this briefly this morning. As I said, God flooded the earth. He wiped the slate clean, so to speak, right? He did that so that we could start again. It wasn't God starting over. He was giving man an opportunity to start over, for we had filled the world with our wickedness, filled the world with our sin. And so God offered a fresh start. He offered a new beginning there for man by wiping the slate clean, so to speak, washing away And of course, that was done in judgment, but you get the idea. Now, I want you to see something here. With Noah and his family in the ark, he saved them from the flood. If you're in Genesis chapter 8, hop down to verses 15 through 20. I'll read them for you briefly as we go through here. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee. In other words, everything you brought onto the ark, Noah, the herb-bearing seed and the animals two by two and all of them, I want you to take all of them and leave the ark. It's time to go back out. It says that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth and his sons and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now you may be wondering, well, why did we jump back here to Genesis? What has that got to do with anything? Well, I want you to see something here. This was a fresh start for the world. That's what we're seeing here. We are seeing God giving a do-over, so to speak, a fresh opportunity. Of course, it doesn't erase sin. He didn't do that. But what he did do is he erased, for the most part, all of the wickedness that had covered the world. God is offering a new beginning. And it's a pivotal understanding in our Christian faith that God is a God of new beginnings. He's a God of second chances. I want you to see something here. Paul, he talks about this in his second letter to the Corinthians. Chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So you see, just as in the beginning of the Old Testament, there in Genesis, we see God offer a new beginning, so to speak, a fresh start with the flood, we also see here in the New Testament, Christ himself, Christ's coming, was a new start. It was a fresh opportunity. Why? Because he did something that was never done before. He came to erase and to wash away sin. He came to offer that new life, to offer us a chance to be the new creature in Christ, to change everything. That's kind of really the heart behind what New Year's is all about. That's, at least I like to think that's why we celebrate New Year's. That's the idea, right? That we can start anew, that we can start fresh. You see, Jesus Christ, who is, of course, God in the flesh, he came, he gave us a new beginning, a fresh start, a clean slate. He came in forgiveness, in mercy. He humbled himself to offer us what we didn't have. What we didn't have, what we didn't deserve, but we very much required. You see, and that's the thing about mercy. That's the thing about grace. There was once, I heard a story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes a powerful picture. There was once a man who was on trial, and his mother had come to the trial to watch, and the judge was about to sentence the man. The man was guilty, absolutely guilty. And the woman had cried out, his mother cries out to the judge, have mercy. The judge's reply was, he doesn't deserve mercy. The woman's reply, though, was, if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. Well, it's the same thing with us and with God's grace, if you get the idea of what I'm trying to relate to you. The mercy that we needed, the grace that we so required, it wasn't deserved, right? It was the grace of God. God came and he offered that to us. He humbled himself in doing it. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. In offering us the fresh start, which he purchased by his blood, he instructs us to live displaying that same humility and offering that same forgiveness. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, speaking to the church, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And he said to them all, this is in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, this is important, and here's where we come to the heart of the message tonight. Please catch this part. The next 2 or 3 minutes here that I'm speaking is really the heart of what I'm trying to dive into, what I really hope we'll look at in the new year. What I'm hoping for in the new year for every one of us, for me, for you, for all of the Church of Christ, is a change in heart. That's what the church needs. It needs a change in heart. Listen to this. The reason that our Lord said the things that he said there in Luke 9:23, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Not only was this instruction for us concerning salvation and the living for God over living for ourselves, yes, but it is also the key. It is the key to enjoying the newness of life in the here and the now. If we cannot do that, if we cannot humble ourselves, if we cannot deny ourselves, if we can't take up the cross, if we can't have that heart that God has, then we're not going to be able to enjoy the newness of life here and now. You see, until we can live as Christ in our hearts, until we can be like Christ in our heart, then we will never, ever be able to live like Christ in our bodies. We'll never be able to be the men and the women that God's called us to be. You see, I've put a lot of emphasis in my time here as pastor. I've put a lot of emphasis on the heart. A lot of my messages focus on the heart. A lot of the messages that I've given to you focus on relationship. And the reason for that is because Scripture shows us that it is from the heart that identifies who and what we really are. How we dress as Christians doesn't identify who and what we really are. Our pleasantries, hey, how are you? Nice to see you. Great to have you here. That doesn't define who we really are. Deeds that we do don't even define what we really are. It all comes down to who we are underneath everything else. Who we are in our hearts. How we view each other in our heart is really how we feel about one another. How we see ourselves in our heart, whether it be a prideful or a humbling, is how we really see ourselves. How we view God in the heart is really how we see and honor and think of God. The Scripture is actually very clear on this. We see it a number of times, this emphasis on the heart. God's emphasis is always on the heart of the believer. Let me show you a couple examples here. The Scripture says that God looks not on the outward appearance, but he looketh on the heart. He looketh on the inward man. It is also why it's out of abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's why where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When Christ said in John 10:10 that he came so that we might have life more abundantly, he wasn't just speaking of eternal life, but also of a more abundant present life, full of God's glory, joy, hope, and his grace. But we cannot experience that until we have a heart that is similar to God's, until we have a heart that follows after God, until we have a heart that's humble in the example of Christ, a heart that's forgiving in the example of Christ, a heart that's loving in the example of Christ, a heart that's forgiving in the example of Christ, a heart that is merciful in the example of Christ, a heart that is diligent in the workings and the things of God in the example of Christ. Until we change the heart, we will continue to struggle. We will continue to be less than what God has called for us and to have less than what God has promised. That's the truth. And I'm praying that in the new year, you, I, and Christians the world over will be able to experience this life more abundant, this joy, this heart of God truly. But it takes more than simply acknowledging it. It takes more than knowing that the heart is where it's at. It takes actually changing. It takes stepping out in faith. It takes love. It takes a desire for God. It takes, and this is the hard one, are you ready? Humility. It takes a humbling of oneself to be able to have the heart of God and to live with the purposes, the focus, the mind of God continually upon our hearts. Until we can stop living for ourselves, stop seeing things our way, stop thinking things our way, stop wanting things our way, we'll never be able to enjoy what God has promised us. We'll never be able to be what God has called us to be. As I say, I pray that the new year hearts, that's what the church needs, is a change in heart. It needs to start with you and I, right here, our hearts, personal. We all need to examine yourselves, right? That's what the word says, examine yourself. We need to examine ourselves and get our hearts right. Because once we do that, once we humble ourselves and say, you know what, it's okay that I'm wrong. It's okay that things aren't the way I would have them. It's okay. We need to be able to do that, because once we can do that, then we can start reaching out and really showing love to the world. Then we can really start showing Christ's example. You see, that's the problem with Christianity today. One of the major problems is that so many people, they see Christians and what we talk about, but when they see what we are about, it doesn't match. Why? Because we're so focused on looking the part, we're so focused on talking it, and we really don't care to live it. Why? Because that means we'd have to humble ourselves. That means that we would have to choose to be a base. We would have to choose to be okay with being wrong. We would have to choose to say, no, I'm really not that important. It's really Christ that my life is for. I think I've told you this quote before, and I'll share it with you quickly. Muhammad Gandhi, when asked about Christ, and if you don't know who Muhammad Gandhi is, he was, I want to say Hindu, if my memory serves, Hindu or Buddhist, I want to say Hindu, religious man, back many years ago, was involved in a hunger strike, got a lot of notoriety for that. During this time of his hunger strike, he was asked, what are your thoughts on Christ? And he said something powerful, and I think I've said this once before, but it just shows the truth. He said, Christ, yes, I like him very much, but I do not like his Christians. They are nothing like him. And he was right. By and large, if you look at Christianity today, you see so many that talk the talk. Though if you get down to their hearts, if you see who they really are, how they really view the world, themselves, those around them, if you look at how merciful they are, what their desire for God really is, and by the way, these things, if you ever wonder what your desire for God really is, take a look at how we spend our time. You want to know what's important to someone? Take a look at how they spend two things, their money and their time. If you want to see what matters to someone, take a look at where they spend their valuables, right? That's why God said, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also, right? Well, take a look at where your treasure is. What are the two most valuable things we have? Time, and of course, our money, our means, right? Take a look at those things if you want to get an idea of how your relationship is with Christ, how important he is to you. Look how you spend them. Look how we spend them. A couple of things, if we're going to be able to do this, to be able to go into the new year with a changed heart, a heart that's soft for God, a heart that wants to be the example of God, example of Christ in our lives and to those around us. A couple of things, just two quick things, and we'll move on to the business meeting and we'll close out. Because that really, what I've just given you there about the heart, that's the real message. That's what I want us to think about tonight. Two things. The first thing I want you to keep in mind as we come into the new year, and I hope this is an encouragement for everyone. First of all, do not look back. Do not look back. You cannot come into a new year hoping to make changes, hoping to be a better man, a better woman for God, by God's power, if we are continually focused back on things that have taken place the year before, on our failures, on things that we've done, on things that we didn't accomplish, on things that we wish we would have done better. If we're focused on the past, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to move into the future. And the same goes for that loving heart. It's very hard to restore relationships in the coming days if we're focused on the bad things that have happened in the past. You got a loved one whom you haven't, maybe you've been strained in that relationship. You say, you know, I really would like to see that relationship get resolved. You can't do that if you keep focusing on what caused the strain. You want to live for Christ? You want to get involved in a ministry? You can't do that if you're focused on the fact that you didn't do it before, that now's no time to start. Don't focus on the past. Don't look back. When God offers a new beginning, a fresh start, He instructs us not to look back on the past and to live in those things. As long as we are doing that, we cannot move forward and get any closer to the person that God has called us to be. We can't do it. We cannot move on to a bright and a better life for Christ, by Christ, if we are continually focused on the past. If you've had any failures that you've experienced in the past year, any strife with relationships, if you've committed any mistakes, if you've committed any sins, here's what I say to you. Do not dwell on those things. Forgive them, forget them, and move on, including if it's yourself that you need to forgive. God's forgiven you. Don't look back. Dwelling on these things, when we dwell on these things, that is caused by a sick and a wicked heart. That's what causes us to dwell on things. That's what causes us to look back, to not be able to move on. It is a matter of a wicked and a sick heart, a heart that is not in good shape. It's a heart that longs for trouble. It longs to hold you back. It longs to keep you separated from the man or the woman that God has called you to be. Listen to the words of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 say, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Just as Isaiah was speaking there, God is about to do something new. And what is his instruction to the people as he is about to do this new thing? He says, don't look back on the former things. Don't remember them. I share that same warning with you tonight. Also, we see a little bit of a picture in that also in the Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened with Lot's wife. God instructs them not to look back at the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He rescues Lot and his family from this place, and he offers them a new start. He says, I could have destroyed you along with everyone else in this city, but I'm going to pull you from that, just as he pulls each and every one of us from the mess that we make of our lives and offers us a new beginning. He offers them a new beginning. And what does he say to them? The same thing that he says to you and I. He says, don't look back on those things. Leave them there. There's nothing there that's going to do you any good here or tomorrow. There's nothing there that's any good for you. There's nothing there worth focusing or looking at. Leave it alone. However, Lot's wife, she couldn't do it. Her heart wasn't right. She looked back on the past. She couldn't let go of those things. Her heart was focused on the old things. And as she turned and looked back, she was turned to that pillar of salt. All because she couldn't let go of those things. She couldn't leave them there. The second thing I want to say to you, and I pray that this is an encouragement in the coming year. Do not put God in a box. Do not put God in a box. We often wonder what God can do, what He will do in some situations. And that's okay. It's okay to not know how things are going to turn out. It's okay to wonder if God's going to move. It's okay to wonder what God could do in a situation. However, sometimes we doubt that there's anything that can be done in a situation other than what we think must be done or what we think will come to pass. However, that is a result of weak faith. When we doubt what God can do, or we think that we know what God must do, That is a result of weak faith. Don't put God in a box. God is able to change any situation. He's able to heal any hurt. He is able to mend what has been broken. He is able to save what has been lost. God is able to do things which you and I could never begin to comprehend, which we could never begin to imagine. There is nothing that's out of God's reach. There's no one that God can't use. There's no one that He can't save. There's no heart that He can't soften. There's no one who's lost to God. I want you to keep that in your mind tonight. Matthew 19, verse 26 says, "But Jesus beheld them, and He said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." With God all things are possible. Let me say this as we bring the message to a close. No matter what it is that you may have gone through in the past year, what your loved ones may have gone through, what they may still be going through today, and no matter what lies ahead in the year to come, I want us to remember not to place God in a box. This is not only true concerning our finances, it's not only true concerning our relationships and the other matters of this life, but is it especially true concerning God's power to save? You and I are never any further from God than we actually desire to be. And that's the truth of the matter. If tonight you are taking the advice that I've given you, the instruction that I've given you as your pastor, and examining your lives, examining where we are with God, where we want to be, where we ought to be, where we desire to be, if you find that you're not where you should be this long in a relationship with Him, if you find that things maybe aren't where they once were, but you desire for them to be, if you find that there are some things that, well, that just aren't the way they ought to be, I want you to remember that we're only as far from God as we desire, which means that we can always get back to where we need to be, which is walking hand in hand. That opportunity's never passed. And see, and that's what, like I said, that's what I love about God. One of many things, but one of the most beautiful things is that He is a God of new beginnings. He's a God of second chances. He's a God of fresh starts. And any time that we'll come to Him, any time that we come to God and say, God, will You take me as I am? He says every time, yes, but You've got to take me as I am. Praise God. Praise God that He is a God of second chances. I want to remind you tonight that there's nothing that you can do to distance yourself so far from God that He cannot save. There is, however, one thing that does limit us from salvation. There's one thing that limits us from salvation and from that life more abundant that Christ came to give. The one thing, by the way, that will make the difference in you, the difference in your life, the difference in your relationships in the coming year. And that one thing, what is it? Faith. That's what will make the difference. Matthew 9:29. This is Jesus as He's performing a miracle. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's the only thing that stops us. The only thing that stops us from a relationship with God is our faith. The only thing that stops us from stepping out and being the men and women that God has called us to be is faith. The only thing that stops us from doing what God's called us to do is faith. The only thing that stops us from mending relationships that we thought were done with is our faith in God to mend them. The only thing that stops us from achieving the things for God's glory that we feel called to do is faith. The only thing that stops us from a relationship with Almighty God, to be cleansed of our sins and welcomed as a child of the Most High, is our faith. This evening, if you find yourself in need of a fresh start, in need of a new beginning, perhaps what you need is a clean slate, not only for you, but for those around you. Perhaps you're sitting here tonight thinking that you need most in the coming year is a relationship with God, to know the Savior, to experience His grace, His love, and to experience that life more abundant. If that's you this evening, then I pray that in a moment as the congregation sings, that you'll step out in faith, that you'll put faith and heart into action, and you'll come down here and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. And I pray that from this day and every day throughout the new year and many years after, that those hearts that I spoke of earlier in the message would be changed, that they'd be tender to one another and to the desire and the will of God for our lives. As the congregation sings, we invite you to come.